like a rushing wind and tongues of fire. So, dear Lord, we seek thy blessing. Come with glory, now our hearts inspire. Let the fire fall, let the fire fall, let the fire from heaven fall. We are waiting and expecting, now in faith, dear Lord, we call. Let the fire fall, on thy promise we depend. From the glory of thy presence, let the Pentecostal fire descend. As Elijah, we would raise the altar for our testimony clear and true. Christ the Savior, loving healer, coming Lord baptizer too. Ever flowing grace and full salvation, for a ruined race thy love has planned. For this blessed revelation, for that written word we dare to stand. Let the fire fall, let the fire fall, let the fire from heaven fall. We are waiting and expecting, now in faith, dear Lord, we call. Let the fire fall, on thy promise we depend. From the glory of thy presence, let the Pentecostal fire descend. 'Tis the covenanted promise given to as many as the Lord shall call. To the fathers and their children, to thy people one and all. So rejoicing in thy word unfailing, we draw nigh in faith thy power to know. Come, O come, thy burning spirit, set our hearts for heavenly fire aglow. Let the fire fall, let the fire fall, let the fire from heaven fall. We are waiting and expecting, now in faith, dear Lord, we call. Let the fire fall, on thy promise we depend. From the glory of thy presence, let the Pentecostal fire descend. With a living coal from off thy altar, touch our lips to swell thy wondrous praise. To extol thee, bless, adore thee, and our songs of worship raise. Let the cloud of glory now descending, fill our hearts with holy ecstasy. Come in all thy glorious fullness, blessed Holy Spirit, have thy way. Let the fire fall, let the fire fall, let the fire from heaven fall. We are waiting and expecting, now in faith, dear Lord, we call. Let the fire fall, let the fire fall, on thy promise we depend. From the glory of thy presence, let the Pentecostal fire descend.
Amen. Amen. We'll stand to our feet. We'll sing another one. Yeah. 308, come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in his word he has shown us the way. Here in our midst he's standing today tenderly saying, come. 308. And then we'll, our pastor will come after this one.
Come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in his word he has shown us the way. Here in our midst he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. Joyful, joyful will the meeting be, when from sin, our hearts are pure and free, and we shall gather, Savior, with thee, in our eternal home. Some further children, oh, hear this voice, let every heart play forth and rejoice, and let us freely make him our choice. Do not delay, but come. Joyful, joyful will the meeting be, when from sin our hearts are pure and free, and we shall gather, Savior, with thee, in our eternal home. Think once again, he's with us today. Heed now his blessed command and obey. Hear how his accents tenderly say, will you, my children, come? Joyful, joyful will the meeting be.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless each one tonight that's made an effort to come. I know the roads are bad. There's lots of flooding out on some of the back roads. And maybe some people weren't able to come with the floods. And then Brother Gary and the family's away at Abba Street tonight to preach. Our brother Billy's in Abba Street. Just give me a minute with this machine. Let's turn in our Bible while we're waiting to John 3:16. Praise the Lord. This thing's done the jump on me. She's changed sermons all in her own self. We're going now to Romans chapter 5. So it's a totally different message. I can't get her to what I wanted, what I had her on it, but it's the same thought. It's just from a different scripture. It's about the love of God I want to preach on tonight. And so all them notes was wrong, Matthew. But anyhow, let's turn to Romans. Sorry about that. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. Maybe this is what the Lord wants tonight. I was going to preach this, but it's embarrassing, isn't it? But don't worry about it. The Lord bless each one this evening. Praise God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's just bow our heads tonight. Praise God. If you have a need tonight, just lift your hand up before the Lord. Praise God. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for your mercy, for your grace, for your love, for your truth you've showed toward each one of us. And Father, I pray this evening that you'll help us with your word. Lord, maybe the things we had planned to say, maybe you have something different to say, but Lord, we're looking to you. We'll ask for your help, for your strength, for the hands raised, Bless and meet every single need in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch, has already been prayed, our sister Eiling, Lord Jesus, completely healer, deliverer. For others that need your touch, for Andrea, give her a full recovery, Lord. Bring them back into fellowship. Bless and strengthen Brother Gary tonight and the family. Anoint him and quicken him as he speaks. For Brother Billy and Abbott Street, we pray. Father, for those that would listen in, bless, save the lost, and heal the sick. And Lord, we ask now for your wisdom, your guidance. And Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Praise God. I was thinking about this message. I don't even know how I've got back to it, but this thing's let me down today. Maybe it's meant to be, but it'll not worry me one bit. What message it is, I'll preach it anyhow. But outpouring of divine love is what I want to talk about tonight. The original message was the love of God. Now, I was thinking the day I went in the office by 3 o'clock. I was in there for a while, and it's going over. I know I preached before on the love of God, and I thought it must have been a few months ago. I went back in our church site and went back to 23, and I still couldn't find it. So it was over 2 years ago. So you think you've preached something a few months ago, but it could be a lot longer ago. Time just goes that quick. But we know the greatest, most wonderful gifts and blessings that the Holy Spirit offers to us here is the outpouring of God's divine love into our hearts. And Romans is one of my favorite books in all the Bible. And we know the climax comes in verse 5. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us. That's God's love. And God's love has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And when we have the Holy Spirit, we have God's outpouring of God's love in our heart. And we know that it's outlined in stages. It's like a spiritual progression over these 5 verses in Romans. And you could go through all the verses. And it talks first of all about we have peace with God. Peace with God. Then it talks about we have access into God's grace through faith. Then it talks about rejoice in the hope of God's glory, the hope of something in the future. And once we are saved, we have a hope not just now, but we have a hope of something in the future because we know that he's went to prepare a place for us. And he says, where I am, there you may be also. Then also we rejoice also in sufferings because of the results of suffering produce in us when we rightly receive them. It produces something in us. The Lord's with us. He never fails us. He never lets us down. And Paul listed 3 successive results of suffering rightly endured. The first, perseverance, he talked about. And the second was proven character. And the third was hope. And Paul the Apostle talks about perseverance. He talks about a proven character. And he talks about hope. And then the climax of all them things is God's love poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So Paul talks about suffering and all them things in Romans. But the best thing of all is God's love poured out in our hearts above all them other things. And the Greek word for love is agape, which in the New Testament is normal, but not invariable. Restricted to God's own love, usually agape love is not humanly achievable except for the Holy Spirit. So the love of God is superior to human love. Human love can have its limitations, but God's love had no limitations because of John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There was no limitations in that love. That was the love that took Jesus the whole way to the cross. That he was willing to bleed and die on Calvary because he loved us so much. That's God's love. And we can never produce agape love naturally. The only way we can do it, if the Lord helps us to do it. You know, William Branham once said, if someone done something on his wife or somebody in the family, he as a man would be ready to kill him or whatever. But he says, with God's love come on you, you'd forgive them. But you never could forgive them of your own natural self. You'd maybe want to get them back or whatever way you look at it. But the love of God would forgive them. That's God's love. God's love, when God's love come on you, you'd forgive somebody that you would never forgive outside of the love of God. You see, further in this fifth chapter, Paul defines the nature of agape love. He explains how it was manifested in God in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6 to 8 of Romans 5. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the thing tonight, that's the thing what really strikes me more than anything else with God. And for my own self, I knew where I was, and I don't have to look at nobody else. I was in as bad a state as anybody could be in a bad place as anybody could be in, and yet God loved me. And not only did God love me, not only does the Bible say that God did love me, but a voice says to me, I love you, and I give myself for you. Now, I'll tell you, I never done nothing to deserve it. And I was thinking about this today, studying about it and reading about it and praying in my office today. There's not one thing in any of us that could move the favor of God, as it were. Now, I'm talking before we're saved. There's nothing in our own selves we could do to please God. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, when you're saved, you can please God. But I'm talking about the sinner. But yet God loved us while we were yet sinners. Before we were regenerated, before we were saved, when we were on our lost state, on our way to hell, God loved us. God loved us. And I tell you, that's God's love. That's how much love God has. While we were yet sinners, not only did God love us, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When Christ died on the cross for us, according to Paul, there was three words that described us. Three words also from Romans. Powerless. We were powerless to save ourselves. We were powerless to do anything for ourselves. And here's another word, and this is why we're powerless. We were ungodly. And the fact that we were ungodly left us powerless. Because if we had a new Christ, we wouldn't have been powerless. We'd have had power. And the third one is sinners. We were powerless, we were ungodly, and we were sinners. We're outside of God. But you know, Jesus Christ bridged the gulf, didn't he? At the cross. We couldn't go to him, but he came to us, really. Just like when Adam and Eve fell in the garden where they were, they could not go to God, really, but he came to them. He came to them. And no man seeks God, but God seeks man. That's the love of God. It is a agape love that is self-given and does not lay down any prior condition. That's a agape love. No prior condition. It'll take you as you are. It is not a love that says you must be good or do this or that. It is freely given out even to the most undeserving. God loves them. You think of it tonight, maybe of a wee girl or a wee fella or a relation or a friend, and they're not saved. And you're maybe looking at them thinking, boys, they're into drinking or drugs or they're not living immoral or whatever. The Lord still loves them. And no matter how low they are, in your eyes and my eyes, God loves them. And God can save them. And we need to get a real revelation of that, so that we can pray more effectively for them, that God would reach them. You see, the most helpless and the most unworthy, God loves. John 3:16, God so loved the world. God loves them tonight. 1 John 4, verse 10 and 11. And I'm sorry, Matthew. I give Matthew the wrong notes. I never planned it. This was all set up. I wasn't preaching this message, but maybe the Lord wanted it preached. But it's been preached anyhow. Praise God. 1 John 4:10 to 11. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And Brother Jordy often prays it, doesn't he, in the service. They give us love for each other, and we should love each other. And isn't it a terrible thing, you know, when Christians, and they might be different beliefs and all, and they couldn't even shake hands with each other, but they say they're believing in the same Lord Jesus, something's wrong. The Bible says we're to love one another because God loved us. We're to love one another. Let us have a look in this New Testament at some of the ways in which agape love is produced in us. First thing, you know, the first thing that will produce agape love in me and you is the new birth. The act of the new birth. You see, outside of the new birth, you'll never have it. To have this agape love, this is God's love, we need to be born again. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 to 23. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 to 23. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Look at verse 23. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And our brother John talked about the word of God this morning. And when we have the word of God in us, it's abiding in us. It's living in us. It's not something that's dead in us. It's living. And because the word of God's living, God is love. So God's in us, and therefore the love of God is in us. It's actually in us. God's love when we're born again. And it enables you to do things. There's things you would do if you weren't born again. Because you wouldn't have the love of God, but it's the love of God that constrains us. The possibility of loving with agape love originates with the new birth. That's where it comes from. The new birth of the eternal, incorruptible seed of God. God's word that produces a new kind of life. When you're born again of an incorruptible seed, every seed will bring forth after its own kind. Amen? Spoken word's original seed. And when we're born again of an incorruptible seed of the word of God, agape love is the very nature of that seed and that life. That's the nature of it. Because of God's love, and we are born of His incorruptible seed, we have love in us. We have love in us. We have it in us. 1 John 4, verse 7 to 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. See, the devil doesn't have love. The devil is hatred. He's no love, he's all hate. He's all evil. He's darkness, but Jesus is light and love and life. Love is of God. 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God's love. And the devil does not love. And the children of the devil don't love either. But we that are born of God, we do love. You know, love's a powerful thing. Love is a powerful thing. You know, an animal knows when you love it. An animal. And they say that love can tame any animal. And I have it somewhere. I don't know where in my office, but I had a printout that I found from years ago. I don't know where it is in the office, but years ago they did a tremendous write-up in Jeffersonville, Indiana, about William Branham. Because he tamed a wolf. He tamed a wild wolf with love. And they did a whole write-up. They said a wild wolf could never be tamed. But he tamed a wild wolf with love. And it made the headlines in the newspapers. And I tell you, love can do that. And you know, love can change things. When you love somebody, it can change things. And I'll tell you, God loves us tonight. Loves us. And I know the devil even tells Christians, God doesn't love us. Maybe if you've made a mistake or done something you shouldn't have done, well, the Lord no longer loves you. That's a lie. God's love does not change. Even when we fail Him, even when we let Him down, even when we fall short in sin, God's love still does not change. Because God Himself is love. Thank God for that love tonight. So you can see this kind of love as a fruit or a mark of the new birth. You'll have love. A person that's been born again has it. A person who's not born again can't have it. Look what Paul says here in Romans 5, verse 5 again. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit tonight? After the new birth and the new nature which is produced by the new birth. The new nature produced by the new birth. The Holy Spirit pours out God's love into our hearts. We are immersed in love. We are brought into contact, into the massive contact, into the inexhaustible supply of God's love. It's an inexhaustible supply. Well, I've been loving that wee girl, that wee fella. They still haven't changed. And boys, I'm getting it tight, you know. They've upset me this week or that. And it'll happen. But you still need to keep on loving them. Don't worry if it's a week or a month or a year. It can't change. God never changed for you and me. God never changed. And I tell you, sometimes even when prophecies is given, it's just saying to one of the brothers this morning, a prophecy can be given, and you think it never happened. And 20 years later, there it is. It happens. See, our time's not like God's time. You see, the total love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I want to really make it clear that this supernatural, divine, inexhaustible, only given by the Holy Spirit, this love. Look at John 7. John 7, verse 37 to 39. John 7, brother, verse 37 to 39. In that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because of Jesus was not yet glorified. Now you can see the contrast. First you have a thirsty man who does not have enough for himself. But then you have the Holy Spirit comes in, and the thirsty man becomes a channel, a stream of living water. That's the love of God poured out into our hearts. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, He can give you enough and more. And I'll tell you, God's Spirit can come on you and you can have an impression on somebody and you don't even know it. That can happen, you know. No. Look at that fellow that I work with now. I know it's a long time ago, but look at that fellow I work with. He definitely wasn't saved. He smoked cigars, he chewed garlic, brother. And between the cigars and the garlic, you can figure it out for your own self. He said to me one morning, go in there and get me cigars in the shop. And I said, no, I'm not going. He called him John. Now, there's not a John in here. You know who this man was, a coal man. But I just kept being myself. And I'd be singing along. I keep falling in love with him over and over again. And he woke and his wife says to him, hey, boy, what are you singing? And he says, what do you mean? She says, who are you falling in love with over and over again? You woke this morning singing, I keep falling in love with him over and over again. Who is he? And he says, that's that boy McKinstry. He's me brainwashed. But I tell you, I was blessed when I learned that he's got saved. And not only has John got saved, but John sings now round different churches and gives his testimony. And he tells how he woke singing. I keep falling in love with him over and over again. I tell you, you see, it's like I said on Thursday night, when we declare something, when we speak something, it has an effect. Even if you sing it. I can remember as a lad out of John here at the farm. And John used to sing all the time. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. And for years, I'd remember that song, the words of it. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water, the man of Galilee. It had an effect on me. And I tell you, somebody could sing a song and it has an effect on you. And you could be that somebody that sings a song, or you could be that somebody that quotes a verse. There's a fellow at work, and I do it with him regular. Now I know why I'm doing it. He might know why he's doing it. This fellow doesn't even serve the Lord. But I'll go over to him. You call him George, and I'll go over to George, and I'll say, I will look on to the ends of the earth, and he quotes the rest of it. He quotes that scripture, look ye on to the ends of the earth, be ye saved, for I am God. And he quotes the chapter and the verse. I didn't even know the chapter and the verse myself, off by heart. But George knew it, and he doesn't even go to church. But George says it out loud, and there's other fellas listening. And George is not even serving the Lord. But I'm going to tell you one thing. George might know it, but that word will have an effect. Because there's no word of God void of power. Hear me tonight. There's no word of God void of power. Every single word of God has power in it. God's word will not return unto void, not one jot or tittle, till all be fulfilled. The heaven and earth will pass away, my word shall never pass away. When we look further at this famous love chapter written by Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 12:31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show unto you a more excellent way. And if you can read all through it, I won't read through it all tonight, but it's of a charity love. Paul's telling us to have charity, to have love. You can say you can have everything, but if you don't have love, and you can read it when you go home, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, and we're not saying don't have the gifts, we want the gifts, but love, we need to have love as well. Love. We want to love the God. And it's important to see all the gifts manifested to the Holy Spirit are intended as channels of instrument by divine love. When the gifts are operated in love, when they're operated through the genuine Holy Spirit, they will bless people. They will help people. They will minister to people, because it's an extension still of the love of God through the Holy Ghost. There's only one Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit that falls in you to make you speak in tongues or prophesy is the same Holy Spirit that shed abroad in our hearts and gives us love. Same Holy Spirit. Love. It's God's love. How many times in the Spirit of God could speak to you and just help you, lift you and bless you? See, that's why we must use the gifts in love. We're nothing and have nothing without love. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5 to 6. And I'm telling you tonight, brothers and sisters, I never planned to preach this message. The message I'd planned to preach, this machine decided to get rid of it. And I don't know where she's put it. And I'm not worried either. But the Lord had this for somebody. I'm convinced of it now. 1 Timothy 1, I won't be long. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5 and 6. Now the end of the commandment is charity, that's love. Out of a pure heart, out of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some having served have turned aside unto vain jangling. And we heard this morning, and Brother John mentioned it this morning, it's important what we watch, what we say, what we do. There's a fellow at work the other day sent me a video. And I went to watch it, and I had to stop it, and I had to delete it off my phone. I didn't want it. I didn't want it on my phone. I wanted nothing to do with it. I had to delete it out of my phone. And I tell you, the world will send you stuff, and they've no shame for it. And we should send some scriptures in the Word of God. That's why every day I put a post up. And it could be Smith or Spurgeon, a quote of the day in a scripture, and just a few things he's saying. And some days I might write it my own self if I have time. But I do it every day. I try to do it every single day. Because if there's a site that everybody's on, we should put something on it then as well. Don't let the devil have it all his own way. God's word can have an effect. Somebody could read that. And my, I've been so surprised that the people that's read things I've put up, I can't believe it sometimes. They've never entered a church. And they read it. And they even comment. And I'm totally shocked. And it's surprising where the Word of God will go. And even these meetings, you'd be surprised. You could do a service and somebody could be listening in away somewhere you'd never dream about. But God's Word will not return void. You see, love. Now to the end of the commandment is charity, love out of the pure heart. Verse 6, for which some have turned aside unto vain gangland. The goal of a ministry is love, isn't it? Love. The purpose of God to the Christian is to have a consistent expression of divine love. Isn't that the truth? That's the purpose. Now let me sum it up just for a few phrases here and then I'm closing. The first one's the new birth. You'll never have this real love of God outside of the new birth. So if you're expecting somebody that's not saved to have it, and you're saying, I can't understand why they don't have it, and I can have it, they won't have it if they're not saved. But if they get saved, and no matter how dirty or filthy they used to be, God can give them love. But they'll be a different person. They'll be a new creature. When we're born again, we can become capable of that kind of love. What's the other thing? The second outpouring of God's love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. It's an inexhaustible resource. Well, look, there's times I've loved people, but I've used it up. You can never use it up. What God can do for you. God can do it again. God can do it again. We've had times where we know that maybe the Lord's anointed someone in our midst, ourselves, and you can sense God's presence, but God can do it again. Because the source, you see, it's a source that you can't overuse or exhaust. It's not like the, you know, someone you'll use it up and that's it. It's inexhaustible. Inexhaustible. And the third expression, this love is worked out in us daily living, isn't it? Daily living. Want to live for the Lord. And this love that comes from God is made available. It's made available even to humans like us. Made available. Think of it tonight. We can have it. Me and you can have it. God can do it. God can give us that love. We can reach people with the love of God. I tell you, I never could understand it. You know, if you go out and you pick out somebody's all their faults and all that they're doing wrong and preach it to them. You're not really preaching them the love of God. You're judging them. Now, we know this morning we heard about judging, but that's a different type, what I'm talking about. We do discern things, what we hear and all. We know that, as our brother said this morning. But when you go to a person that's not saved, they're not regenerated, they're not born again. They're going to have a life like that. But they need the love of God. And the love of God can transform them. God can deliver a homosexual, you know. God can deliver a drunkard or a sodomite. And no matter what they are, God can deliver. All manner of sin can be forgiven. And God's love is greater than it all. Let's stand our feet tonight and praise God. Thank the Lord this evening for the love of God. Well, every head's bowed, every eye closed. And if you have someone specific, you know, I was thinking, I told you, my brother-in-law transferred sermons I'd studied out years ago onto one of these machines for me, and I lost a lot of it. But one of them was when I preached on the 3 hours of darkness. And I remember in that service, and I hope her sister doesn't mind me saying, but her brother John prophesied to her sister Jenny here. If you can remember, about your parents been saved. And Jenny's mum got saved. She got saved before she went. And her dad's got saved. Now, when you heard that, you thought, well, they'll get saved tomorrow night. But it didn't say that. It said they would get saved. The people you meet first will get saved. And they're both saved. God makes no mistake. Sure, it is not wonderful. And I was just thinking about that. And when sometimes God speaks, we think, well, it'll be the morrow morning or the morrow night. But God can still do it. And if God has spoke a word to you, you need to believe it. It can still happen. Isn't that right? Isn't the Lord wonderful? If you have a loved one tonight and you're wanting prayer for them, why don't you lift your hand up? And I'm going to pray specifically for loved ones tonight. Praise God. And maybe somebody listening in, and I have children of my own. I want to see saved, delivered, set free by the power of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the love of God. And Lord, what I thought I'd prepared tonight was changed. But Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, for your word shall not return void. We thank you for the love of God tonight. And Father, you see the hands raised, you know the heart. We thank you for what you've done, Lord, how you've fulfilled your word that you've spoken. And Lord Jesus, for the loved ones and hearts tonight, may the Holy Spirit go to working on them. And oh God, may you convict them of sin and unrighteousness and bring them to the knowledge of the truth, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, for every one that's represented in this house, move upon them by the power of God, by the Spirit of God. We claim every one of them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every son and every daughter, every husband and every wife, that they'll be saved, that they'll not be lost, but they'd come to know you as the Lord and Savior, and come to know this true love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Father, give us more of this love. Help us to love when we don't feel like loving or think we can love. Help us to love one another. Lord, we love you tonight because you first loved us. Father, bless everyone in this room. Bless our brother Gary as he speaks tonight in Nava Street. Anoint him, quicken him. Give him a word in season. Touch the people. Pray, Lord, you'll just bless each one right now. And bless your word to our hearts in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as our brother Mark comes, and we'll be back on Thursday night. Lord willing, and the Lord is willing. Isn't God good? Praise God. God is so good. God bless you.
Amen. Thank the pastor tonight for that service. And you know, just there thinking at the very end, that wee song we sing here about the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. And what does it say? It says, if the sky of parchment made, or could we, think the ocean fill? If we would write on the sky above, you couldn't fill it, though stretch from sky to sky. That's the love of God tonight. Let's sing 356 in the Redemption. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Amen.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Tenderly Jesus is calling, calling all sinner, come home. Why should we tarry with